Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's go!
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Binge Down TV. Today, we're here with me and Julia talking about Survivor Season 45, Episode 11, titled This Game Rips Your Heart Out. And I did that off of memory. I hope that's actually the title. Is it?
I think that's right.
Okay. And this is a Sunday morning recording. We apologize that this is coming out. I feel like they've been coming out a little late recently. Normally, that's not how we do it here at Binge Down, but the holidays is crazy, and the episode airing on a Wednesday, and then we have work Thursday, Friday. Like, if we have something Thursday and then Friday, you know, it happens. But
you know what? We're busy ladies.
We're busy. We have full-time jobs. This is, we don't get paid anything for this.
Can you believe that?
I can't, but we're here. It's Sunday morning. We're having a coffee date.
Yeah.
It's fun. And this was another good episode. I think this was a frustrating episode for me and for a lot of people, but also like I was fully shaking during the final tribal because I was so excited that there was just gonna like the idea that Julie
that anything was happening
to just choose who was, and even the jury was like, oh, she's choosing who's she gonna pick. They don't know anything about anything.
These dum-dums didn't split a vote.
Dude, how could Austin not have thrown a vote on someone else knowing that he was Julie's other? Like,
well,
like it's between Emily and Austin. So why wouldn't Austin put his vote at least on like Jake or Keturah even and be
force
like
a tie
and force a tie at least? Because that if you're not going to play your idol, like Julie was like a hair away from voting Austin. I think D has Austin and Julie just wrapped around her little finger. So like,
yeah,
at the end, if D wasn't like Austin is my number one.
Ooh, and yeah, that was a bad choice of words.
Even at that point, I'd be like, okay, now I'm definitely voting him off. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Not splitting votes. And I don't want to get, quite frankly, I don't have the brain capacity to work out like three votes here, three votes there. What are we even at? We're at 7. So it was a 6-1. Yeah.
When we watch episodes, Julia and I like to do like if there's 10 people left, we'll put up 10 fingers and I'd be like, OK, it's kind of like what Bruce did, but
Bruce was doing
in like a sweeter way. Like we're just like, OK, wait, how are these votes going to break out?
Yeah. And we can only do it starting when there's only 10 players on the beach. Otherwise,
correct.
That math is way too much for us.
No, but even so, usually it's like tribal councils or smaller, like non-merged groups.
That's true.
Anyway, keep going. Tell me.
Well, I just think it's silly that nobody tried to split a vote. Like, why didn't Emily, Keturah, and Jake try to do anything?
Who would they have voted for? Like, this
Austin,
is
the D.
Yeah, but like splitting the vote.
I guess they didn't know Julie had an idol.
Jake. I would say Drew and Austin should have put their votes on Jake. Everyone while saying
you're right,
else is on Julie.
You're right.
But then Jake is pissed off.
Well, he's in a constant state of like he's seen his name 1,000 times. So whatever, lucky number 7 or whatever. It's yeah.
I don't know. I'm so excited for the turmoil within Reba next episode because
same.
Let's get through some of the other stuff because the end stuff is so juicy. Once it gets to like the Austin and D like lover relationship getting in the way of the game, that is so interesting to me. Like I'm not necessarily interested in them as a couple, but I'm interested in the dynamics that it forces on everyone else
great way to say it, because to me, I literally have written down, like, what could they possibly talk about? What are these two dummies talking about?
I know. And I mean,
the stars,
if they're together, love that for them. But sure. But I don't see it. I don't see it like Boston Rob and Amber.
It needs to happen away from me.
Yeah, take it offline, please. No, but I really do think, before we get into it, I do think Drew would have gone home today. Mama J would have 100% thrown a vote on Drew if Drew didn't have the immunity necklace. But Drew would have been smart enough to be like, Austin, you got to play your idol for me. Like, she knows. We'll get to it. Let's just start at the top where Bruce got voted out.
Where we talk about choking cheats.
Oh, yeah. I did want to talk about token cheats.
Let's start at the top and go back to season 17.
So quickly, I am on episode 5 of Token Teens, and I'm loving it. And I think that what Survivor is missing comes down to this. The challenges where people beat the shit out of each other. I need that back, because it causes like problems. Like, it's not like actual problems, but if you remember like Heroes Villains, like that shit got personal. Like, people were like ripping each other's tops off and like punching each other in the face. It was awesome. And I think that these days, everyone's too nice to each other. They don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. But in those types of challenges, it's like not personal feelings. Technically, you're just trying to win a challenge, but you're beating the shit out of each other. So it's going to get personal. It forces personal stuff. And I just missed the like raw, just being like, okay, we have to just like hold their face down in the mud so I can shoot a ball in a net. Like, I love that. That's fun for me.
I agree. But that is also very MTV. And Survivor is not MTV.
It's very CBS.
It's very CBS. Paramount Plus. It's family coded. It's coded for the family.
It's coded for the family, which let's stop that. Let's not. You're right. It's too PG.
Yes.
Whereas MTV is for the teens. So let's just jump into the start. Bruce got voted out last week. And everyone is hooting and fucking hollering.
Oh, boy.
And it's personal, because especially the second time I watched this, I was like, this is rude. Like, Bruce has to watch this.
I know.
And they're not hooting and hollering because he was going to win the season if they didn't get him out. They're hooting and hollering because they're like, fuck that guy. Get him off my beach.
Yeah. It's kind of beach.
I was kind of upsetting a little bit.
It is. Come on. Yeah, it is. I do. Especially now that Bruce is off, I'm like, look at me just being like, protect him. When I was like shitting on him all season long, I would be hooting and hollering and trying to pop champagne as well. But it sucks. Totally. I mean, it does suck. That is not CBS of them. That is mean bullying behavior.
That's mean bullying behavior. Let's talk about Emily's knife in the coffin. Is that the phrase? Knife in the coffin.
Nail. A knife in the coffin.
She was stabbed through the coffin. She was alive, and then they killed her.
Buried alive.
Her telling the Bruce plan was such a lapse in judgment. She should not have done that. That got her voted out. She was the option. It would have been Jake because no one was seeing her as a mega threat until that moment.
I know, but it raises the question of like, how then do you get clout for moves if you don't make them known? Like, I was thinking, I was like fantasizing about, all right, let's say I'm there, I make a big move and somebody tries to like claim it. Like, you want credit where credit is due. Unfortunately, that becomes, I mean, we were watching it and Sheridan was like, they always do this. Like, do not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, come back and own a move. But it's like, at the same time, you're trying to build your resume. So
I know, but I think that there is something to the mic drop moment at Final Tribal building the resume. I do think people have gone home without the other castmates knowing that they pulled a big move, and then they get sent home and no one knows until you watch it that season.
Yeah.
Months later. But I think that this was a bad move. I think she should have told Drew, and I mean, and that would have spread. Drew is like is the strategy maker on the island. But Drew didn't want Emily out yet.
Right.
And he would have fought for Emily, and then everyone else wouldn't have been like, yo, that was a good move by Emily. Maybe she should be on the chopping block next.
It's not just the claiming of like, I was able to get Bruce off with the idol, but it's like, I also made Julie look really bad. And now Bruce, like,
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like that was the weird part to me. She's like, I said that you were playing him like Kelly played him. That makes Julie look really bad to Bruce. And if I'm Julie, I'm like, well, now Bruce is
jury vote not going to.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yes. I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
Emily's face when she was like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Like when she was telling the story, that's why you don't tell the story. Because it implements you in something even worse. I mean, Mama J took it pretty well. She was like, Emily, ooh, you're a sweetheart, but you are.
Julie had a great episode.
Before we get to Julie, let's just quick glaze over, because who the fuck cares about Emily's stupid little journey? Because what the fuck? They could have just cut that out and it wouldn't have had any repercussions on the game, because she was already a threat because of the move on Bruce. But that didn't make her more of a threat, even though D was like, I don't believe that for a second. That when she came back and was like, I didn't play it. She should have played the frigging game. Just play the game.
The only thing that it, like, upon second rewatch, I'm like, oh, I should have seen this coming. That this was, like, the only reason it's in there is because we get to see, like, her flashbacks. Like,
yeah,
taking us out of the story to talk about Emily's specific story is very leading to, Emily's going home this week.
An exit episode. Yeah. Agreed. I'm bummed. I know Emily was a lot of people's winner's pick, specifically you, Margaret, and mm-hmm. everyone, really. I was on the fence between her and Mama J, so now I'm fully Mama J. But I think Emily just had untapped potential. I think she didn't have, like, I don't know. I wish she just took more of, like, a leadership role and, like, was being more sneaky. I mean, maybe not a leadership role, but being more sneaky and being less loyal to the Reba boys. I think that was like a blind loyalty. How about when Austin was like, I was like,
my girl,
don't vote out my girl. I was like, what?
Yeah, that was strange to me.
And Mama J's not your girl. Like, oh, we're going to vote out the girl I've been allies with since day one. And that's crazy.
I mean, yeah, he's psychotic.
He's psychotic. What an weird episode for Austin.
Just such a weird tension filled, awkward. Like, I was watching Weirdo's date.
Correct.
Like, and not even like date, like date at a coffee shop date.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Like, it was not sexy cute where like I'm watching two people fall in love over martinis. It was like,
so tell me, like, I never saw season 8. Me and you watched the first episode together at your house, and then you finished the season and I never did. So All Stars, Rob and Amba, you are the authority here on this. So, like, one, how did you feel when you saw the flashbacks? And two, like, explain the differences between these, like, two types of relationships on Survivor.
I loved the flashbacks. Right. Well, I loved the flashbacks, but I was cringing out of my skin during this.
Yes.
He put all his cards on the table, basically, by being like, if we make it to the final, I'm proposing.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
literally.
Like, he's like comparing them to a couple who gets married immediately following the show. It's just like, it is so shooting his shot in a way that was like making me uncomfortable, especially because they're just like out to coffee.
So were people suspicious of Rob and Amber? Like, everyone knew they were dating, and then did anyone target them because of that, but they got around it, or was that not like a thing yet?
No, nobody was like, they're a voting block, we need to get them off because of it. They had, their tribe was like winning a bunch of things.
Okay.
The interesting part was they did, their tribe, I think it was called Shapira. They were bulldozing, winning a bunch, really good camaraderie, like really all liked each other.
Yeah, because they were kissing during the show too. So it's like, it's very obvious to the audience that it's like, oh, these two are like falling for each other, whereas these two are acting like they're not even touching each other. They're like, oh, it's almost like they want to touch each other, but they're like, Austin's too nervous to pull a move because he's like a dork. And I mean, I love that. I love a dork, so I'm not judging. I'm just saying, like, someone like smooth ass Boston Rob is like, I'm gonna go in for the fucking kiss.
Yeah, my girl. Yeah, no, it does take them a while before they kiss, but nobody was. It was like none the wiser about that being threatening to anyone else's game. And I mean, Boston Rob is just so charismatic that, like, I don't know, he had them all under his thumb. D and Austin are not Boston and Boston. Boston and Amber.
I'm surprised we never saw like a Matt and Franny kiss. They were probably just keeping it. But back in the day, like in Micronesia, Amanda and Ozzy are just like hardcore making out in the episodes. Like when we watched Gen X Millennials with Figgy and whatever his name was. Like it back in the day, that was 34 really, or 30, whatever that was, 33 was really not that long ago. That was maybe 5 years ago.
People were still
making out on camera, which I miss. That was very MTV.
And I think it goes back to, it was very MTV of them. It goes back to the way that the game is so, I mean, like the casting is fans. There are people who come here and are really serious about like, I'm playing the game. Like if I'm that above everything, whereas it felt like the older days when they were casting more hots was like just very real world.
Totally. And even in Token Teens, like people are like, I want $1 million. Like this fucking sucks. I'm eating termites. I'm like, you know, they just want to win. They don't.
Everyone's forgetting about this $1 million.
I know. Seriously. I mean, I don't have much to say until we get to the end where it's obviously swinging who's voting for who. And I loved the scene where Austin has to tell Dee that Mama J is on the chopping block.
He was so uncomfortable.
But okay, let's talk fixations really quick. This is not my fixation, but it leads into it. So Jake says to Katura, like, upset the apple cart or whatever. And I don't know what that is. And Katura didn't know what that is. But I'm also not on TV. So when Katura was like, wait, what? And my fixation is everyone being dumb as rocks this season, just not knowing what anyone else is saying. Like, what's a pepariah? And then she didn't even know what a pariah was either. So it was like, just people being like, wait, what? And I love that. That's good TV for me. People just being like put some dopey music behind them. And I'm just like enjoying them being stupid. I really like
completely.
That.
I feel bad though, because like these people are not eating. So like their brains are, my brain would be absolute trash. Oh, mush, garbage mush.
I don't know. I feel like they've been eating every week almost has a reward challenge now. They're not necessarily all, like last week they had turkey. This week they had hot dogs and burgers.
Okay. You know what I was thinking?
Tell me.
This actually comes, and we already talked about Emily's lame boat adventure, but it kind of, I'm going to talk about it here now. That challenge, that rope challenge, I need to see somebody solve that. Here's my train of thought.
Emily's challenge.
Yeah, the one she did not do.
Okay. I thought you meant the rope management challenge. Yeah.
No, not rope management. No, I'm sorry. The rope puzzle. I need to see somebody solve this in 3 minutes. And I need to see like these dream team people solving it in 3 minutes under the same conditions that our survivors are at. Because they test everything with this dream team. And I'm like, what if, here's a theory for you. The dream team is somewhere on the island. On the other side of the island, like we're getting lost here. Like we've got like the tail end. They're the tailies. Totally. They're over on the other side of the island. And they are essentially avatars for the people on the show.
Okay.
They're eating the same. They're like, Emily just had a half cup of rice. You get a half cup of rice. They're then testing the next season's challenges. So they're out there, right? Like Jeff is just like monkey, like keeping them in cages like monkeys. I think it could be. I think
I'm onto something. That. That's so good. Wait,
I'd watch that show.
Clip that, post that, send it to Jeff and out him to the FBI, right? And then
100.
Jeff is calling right now and getting our podcast off the air. He's
oh my
like,
God,
get them off.
He knows. Yeah, he knows.
Yeah, I agree. And I also think that like, I guess the dream teamers come up with it and then they get the average Joe to try and solve it, because you can't just be like, here's this puzzle I built and watch me solve it. It's like, no, you built it. Of course, you know the exact way to solve it.
But isn't the dream team like the interns who are just like running they're like, when they show the challenge, they're like turning their faces away from the camera.
Yeah, they're not allowed to show their face.
But these people look healthy. Like these people are not
totally
testing under the conditions that our game players are enduring.
Well, not to bring up a completely different game show, but Great British Bake Off is like the same. And they're like, you have 2 hours to complete this challenge, and you would have, it's like everything's underproved. Like you needed another hour to prove this. Yeah. I'm like, when would I have thought we had 2 hours to bake this? Like, what the fuck? Me and Alex say it every day. We're like, if they needed more time, give them an extra 30 minutes. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, and because if they do one thing wrong, the whole thing's fucked because baking just takes time. It's like, if you have to go back and redo the caramel or redo the, your whatever, then it's like, okay, I'm fucked. And I feel the same for Survivor. I mean, they end up figuring it out. This rope challenge today too, just like everyone trying and getting caught by the rope. I'm like, if I watched this and I was on the next season and I saw this, I'd be like, just untangle the entire rope and take your time and then go. Like, don't try and just go and then have to hop over the things and then go and then hop over the things.
Oh, God. Like, just rope management. No one has it.
No. And you really did need to undo like the entire thing before running. Anyway.
No, but also like,
talk about the challenge.
Oh, you don't?
Mm. No, I do.
I do now.
Yeah.
I liked the challenge. One that I would have liked to have. I would have wanted to see how I could have fared at it.
Yeah. This is one that's like doable. Anytime it's like throwing, I'm like, put me in, coach. I'm like, I can hit a bunch of things with a beanbag. Although I think I would stress out over the like resourcefulness or whatever the word was.
Backwards.
I'd have a meltdown that it wouldn't stay and like lose my mind. But
okay, here's the thing. Here's my thoughts on the challenge. Rope management, we talked about. Drew won the challenge, and I still looked at him and said, "This is the weakest Survivor player I've ever seen."
Yeah,
and he won the challenge. Like I was scared watching that. Watching him throw with those beanbags.
Yeah. Like,
I was like, have you not ever been to a carnival?
Wait, I don't understand.
You never played a carnival game where you just throw, like, you ever done this, anything like this before?
Oh. I was thinking, like, when he punched the blocks when he won. Oh, yeah. Oh, that was his arm could have fallen off with one throw. No, that throw was pathetic.
It was pathetic. And he still won. Like, I was watching it being like, this is the worst showing of like athleticism I've ever seen. And he still won.
Completely. Yeah, no, it was pretty pathetic.
I thought that the way to solve that resourcefulness puzzle was going to require something else because it was called resourcefulness.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, they're going to have to like stack the bean bags to be able to lift the center. They're going to have to be resourceful or they're going to have to use their rope to do something like that was the trick of it. But no, it was just like, can you balance this?
Yeah, that would have been smart. But no. Dream team. Hello.
Hello. Are you listening? They can't hear us. They're in cages.
They're in cages still. They're doing 47 right now. Like they are doing 47. So we don't really have to talk about Emily flopping the savvy, Swiper savvy. Although I will say that I'm surprised Emily didn't read that clue, which was like four have tried and failed, whatever. She didn't say anything about that. I would have came back as like proof and been like, I attempted this thing and it wouldn't work. Cause didn't Jake do that? Like Jake was there. So like, I would have been like, I think it was the sweat and savvy challenge. It was like four rungs, like
it
rings.
Said savvy in it too.
Yeah. And so, and then Jake would have been like, oh my God, that was so fucking hard. Like, I'm glad you didn't try that because you would have lost your vote. Like blah, blah, blah. Like I felt like that would have actually been good TV, but I don't even know that Emily even clocked that. She was just like, no.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Katora's backstory. I don't care to talk about backstories, but this was great. And I think Katora, I mean, the story is not great, but I think Katora is having like a renaissance. Like, I think, no offense, just like they gave her no screen time unless she was shitting on Bruce. And now that Bruce is gone, she's able to flourish. And
isn't that amazing? Remove a man from the story and her story becomes infinitely more interesting. Huh.
Incredible.
Mwah.
Groundbreaking. I think that Katora is making top three for sure.
Wow.
I think Reba is broken now. And I think Keturah, no one has ever put Keturah's name down. No one even knows how to spell it. So they're just, they don't.
I remember she was like, a vote, didn't she?
I don't think so. But remember, maybe she was like, you don't need to know how to spell my name.
Yeah, that was awesome. I love that.
But yeah, that's like redemption story. I thought it was great. It's like one of those crazy stories that you only see on like documentaries. Like she could be on this, on like a cult documentary. Thank God she got out. But it's crazy to just miss years of your education and then come back and be, and then end up being a lawyer. Like that's badass. And I'm pumped for Keturah because I think it was literally last episode I said, no way Keturah like wins or even it's like comes close, but I'm already walking back on that. I don't know about wins, but I think like she's like a contender for top three for sure.
Mm-hmm. Do you have her in your pool?
No, I'm done. Oh no, I have Austin. I have Austin.
Oh
yeah.
You've always liked Keturah. I thought you had her in your pool though.
From episode one, I was like, damn, I'm surprised I didn't even choose Keturah. I immediately was like, I wish I chose Keturah over Kendra. Like,
oh yeah,
because I had Caleb, Sabaya, Kendra, Brandon, and then Austin is my fifth. So I had like three gone immediately, and then
I can't keep track of who I have. I don't remember.
You have Mama J, or no? You have D.
No, who do I have? I D.
You have D, and that's it, right? Because Bruce left. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What? Any thoughts on the Keturah backstory?
No, I love. I mean, it's devastating. It adds different shades to what we got the Thanksgiving dinner week.
Yeah, definitely.
The letter from her mom. It's just like, she's got to. Yeah, and she did say something. She's like, my story is nothing but terribly sad. And that's all we got in that one episode. Now we've got the story. As soon as she said, when I turned 13, I knew what the end of that sentence was going to be. And that is heartbreaking.
We watched it live and you said that. And I was like, I had the same thought because I've seen a million of these cold things. You know, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah. It's so upsetting. It's so upsetting. And she says it too. And this is where she gets really emotional. It's like, she's talking about herself as a child, as like a person other from her. Mm-hmm. She's like, nobody looked at this child and thought like, I need to take care of Keturah. Oh my God. It's terrible. I love her though. You love to see somebody come out on the other side. Inspiring. Yeah, I think Jeff should probably go back and say like, and maybe you've listened to On Fire and he does remedy this, but like saying Jake's story was the most emotional thing that they've ever captured. I'm sorry. What? You knew that, you've seen the whole season play out, Jeff.
What? At least say so far, please.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, and not to like use her story for personal gain, but like do it, girl. Like she only told Jake and Mama J. I was like, tell everybody, tell the whole crew, speak it out loud, because I'm like, that's going to get you votes. Like Mama J is going to get votes because she's like a divorced mom of two. Like you hate to say it, but in seasons past, like it's like, I've said this before. It's like, you've got this guy who's like, has a great job, super well off, like whatever. And then you have this person who's struggling, who's divorced, who has a lot of kids, like all this stuff. It's like, vote for that person. Give them the money.
Yeah.
And you want to vote for the game, but personal stuff does come in. Like in Token Teens, when Taj is like, my husband was that professional football player. And everyone's like, I need the money more than you. You got a professional football player husband. And then Taj was like, I shouldn't have said that. You know, she clocked it immediately. So I do think that I was like, Keturah, tell everybody that story. Yeah. That's a great story to tell. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's fucked up, but use it to your gain, girl, you know? But yeah, I think she had a good episode. No one's looking at her at all yet. Like Jake is the obvious next vote or whatever, but I don't even think that's true anymore because I think they're going to gun for Drew next time. Okay. So let's dive straight in to the Reba drama of this vote. So we'll start with Julie just being a boss and being like, this is my idol. And Austin not even questioning.
Oh my God. That's wild to me. That is wild behavior.
And I hate to say it, but Austin, pussy.
Yeah, let her have it.
Take that back. Take that
back
immediately.
That's so weird to me. I need to see like how... Did he even ask for it? And she was like, no. Or does she just like not offer it back? And then he got scared and was like, too much time has passed. The window is gone.
How did you feel about Drew being like, hey, you want to do something like cool with your idol? It's like to Mama J, and Mama J's like, no. Cause like, what do you mean do something cool? You can only do something cool with your idol if you yourself is on the chopping block or someone in your alliance. So you like play it on them. But it's like, you can't manufacture playing your idol in a cool way.
Yeah.
That's just tossing your idol away. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
You're looking to do something like funky and fresh with your idol. And she's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Well, but maybe he had a plan. The only thing is to pitch it like I've heard your name coming up and this is the pathway I see that we could keep you in the game and make a move that gives you some street cred. But it wasn't. It just stopped there because she said no.
Drew was the mastermind of it all. So him saying that was so sketchy and funny. Like Mama Jay went straight to D and was like, Drew said this. And D's like, yeah, because he wants you to use your idol. And like, you know what
yeah.
I mean? Like,
yeah, I guess that is strange then. She claiming the idol is hers is like the most interesting part of it to me, though. Like,
10 out of 10.
This is my no.
I would use that in Final Tribal. I would be like, Austin let me have his idol. And sorry, Austin, but that was my idol now. I mean, that might piss Austin off, but unless Austin's sitting next to you, because then that's a great thing. Be like, this guy.
Did they help him find it, though?
They did, yes, because I still think D and Julie should have not given that
taken
hammer.
It, run with it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Totally. I just didn't know D and Austin were in love, so that was
yeah.
That was the piece we
they didn't missing. Either. They didn't know either, because he mm-hmm. tried smiling at her, and she did not like him smiling at her. Yuck.
Yuck, big time, yuck.
Big yuck.
So everyone's plotting to get Mama J out. And when Drew wins immunity, picks the boys, brings Jake to, and lets him in on the Julie vote. They act like he's like one of the first person they're telling. They're like, yeah, I think Keturah and Emily would really be in, even though Jake is the last person. Jake's got to be watching this season being like, dude, every time I think I'm in an early deliberation, I am the last person told.
I didn't even notice that. I didn't notice that for this one.
Drew is always doing a face that's like, yeah, I think that person would be in. It's confirmed they're in. They've talked. Yeah, he knows it. But they don't want to make Jake feel like he's the last person
to know. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's smart.
And at the same time, the four girls have nothing to speak about, which was so funny.
It was great. It was a big moment for Buffs.
It really was. They trademark. Put that in there as like a big advertisement. That's silly. Like Mama J and Emily, like both knew that they were gunning for each other. So all four of them decided to just be like, Jake.
Yeah.
Like, I love that all four of them just decided like, oh,
we got to say someone's name who's not here.
Yeah. That's so awkward. Those are the things in Survivor that I would hate being a part of. Like just lying and having to be like, so stupid, like secondhand embarrassment to the max.
Yeah. The Buffs was hilarious, though.
Agreed. All right. Here's the main event. Austin tells D. Now, what do you think about all of this? It's Austin tells D. D tells Julie. Like,
oh,
it's
God.
This train of events was so fun. So let me hear your thoughts on the whole thing. Like, you can just rock from now till the actual vote if you want.
There is no universe that Austin was never going to, that he was not going to tell D.
Totally.
That was never going to happen. I don't know why Drew did not know that. Because he immediately goes and tells D in the weirdest way. He's like, there's a strong move against her.
Her.
And D's like, the fuck are you talking about?
Emily?
And he's like, no, Julie. But there was no world that wasn't going to happen.
Totally.
D immediately telling Julie was super interesting to me too, though, because she also claims that Austin is her number one. So it's like, it's like two different. It's like, well, what's the truth here? I get that Julie, like, she really likes her. She wants to keep her around. She's like been in this alliance with her for ages. Like, there's never a world where D wasn't going to tell Julie.
Yeah. And I think that when D is like, Austin's my number one, I think there's maybe like a slight understanding of like, Austin is who I want to fuck, but you are my girl. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, I think there's like a line. And I think Julie like maybe sort of understood when she's like, you're both my number ones, but like, I'm still trying to get to know this guy and I can't imagine the next few days without him. That's like a want. Julie's a need. You know what I mean? Or maybe I'm flipping them, but either way, it's like the Austin of it all is like, I want him to stay because I'm trying to fucking flirt and have fun. And he's like keeping me going in like a butterfly way. Like, you know, when you're first getting into something new and you're texting someone, that's like fun. And you're like, yeah, let's go. That island is miserable. I think Austin is that like escape and like normalcy for her to be like, at least I can like flirt and whatever. But I do think Mama J is like her number one on the island to like vote with. So I think D got a little caught up in the drama of like, I'm liking Austin. I don't want him to go because I like flirting with him.
Yeah.
I'm almost going to kiss. So like, don't take this away from me, Mama. And like, I think she just got a little caught up in like the flirting and the lust of it all. You know what I mean? I think there was just like a little confusion in D's head.
Okay. Okay.
That's just how I thought it through, because I think it's crazy for her to be like, she's my number one. And even Mama J thought that was crazy. Mama
yeah,
J that, was
that's
like,
a weird
okay.
thing to say. Yeah, that's a weird thing to say. And I loved, though, Mama J getting so emotionally reactive and being like, well, Austin's coming for me. I'm going to get Austin out. Like, I was like, okay, wow, this is what we need, is we need more. And D was right. She's like, you're thinking emotionally. Like,
yeah,
you need to take a beat. It's not Austin as the mastermind.
But D was also thinking emotionally because she likes Austin. She has a crush on Austin. Yeah. How about Mama J's like twitchy, like when she's sitting there next to Jake and Emily and is like, are you guys gonna vote off? Like, oh, she looked like she was going through withdrawal. She was like, say a name.
It's like, I'm going rogue, people.
Yeah. It's like, what does that even mean? The fact that they didn't take precaution after Julie was acting like that was so silly. Like, they still seven people or
six to one.
Six people wrote Mama J's down, name down, even though she was acting the fuck up. And Drew literally knew in his heart that D told her.
Yeah.
So silly. Do you think that part of me was like, why didn't Mama J put Austin's name down? It has to just be loyalty to D. It has sliver, but it was such good TV when Julie was like, I don't know, that's her number one. Maybe I should just vote him out then. If that's her number one, I should vote her. That would split Drew and Austin up. That would get D and Austin split. I think that I was shaken. I was so excited. I thought it was just going to be like an all of a sudden Austin going home with an idol in his pocket. I love when that happens.
Big villainous move would have been. Big villainous slay if she had. I'm jonesing for going rogue, people.
Literally. She looked crazy. She got crazy eyes. I loved that. I thought that was excellent. I think if I'm D, I'm like, Mama Jerry, what the fuck are you doing?
I also liked the cut that they did to that, where like you see this thing and she's like trying to shoot her shot with, who is it, Jake and Emily, and then it cuts to her talking and she's like, they're not making a move, they're not doing it. Like, she read that immediately. It's like, okay, I tried, it's not gonna do, so whatever.
And Mama J, like, even though I don't think she knew that Mama J was the other name, like herself was the other name, when reality it was the name until D told her. Jake and Emily not really saying anything is like, that's the telltale sign that they're voting for you, Mama. Like, quite literally, if you talk to someone and you're like, let's get Austin out, and they're not like, wow, that's a pretty good idea. Like, they need people. You need to just like say yes to everything.
I know.
At some point, because you're going to just give your hand away if you're not saying like, that's actually a pretty good plan. Like, we would go for Austin. Like, could we get Katura? Like, you have to fake it. And they weren't.
They weren't.
Jake's acting chops. I don't know about that.
He stays a tree to me.
He stays a tree for sure.
He stays a tree.
So Jake and Emily tell the crew about Julie being like that and being fidgety and being like, let's vote Austin. And D's mouth just being like wide open, in both shock that Mama J is like dumb enough to do that, and two, being like, wait, she did? She knows? Oh my God. Like, trying to do an acting performance. She does the same at Tribal Council. Just being,
I know.
Like, it's hilarious. Shocked. Trying to. Yeah. I mean, it was good an idea to still put her vote on Mama J, because then she could still like plead the fifth. But
what did they tell her? What did Drew and Austin tell Mama Jay, the plan was?
Emily.
Okay.
Yeah. Emily was always going to be it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think we've like summed it all up, really. And so now Austin has the top six idols. So he's definitely going to five because he's just, yes. Unless he does something stupid and like plays it for D, like if they can do some sort of like, okay, D's the target. So then Austin plays for D, but then they vote for Austin. Like that could be fun. That's the only way Austin doesn't get to five is if he lets his heart win and plays it for someone else and then they get him. But that would have to kind of entail like Drew turning on him, which I don't see.
Yeah.
And I think Drew's the target next week. So I think Austin's definitely making top five. Drew's going to beg. Drew is going to beg Austin for the idol, like beg on hands and knees.
Ooh, I would love to see that.
Yep. And then Austin.
I would love to see that.
So he could either play it for D or Drew, but he wouldn't play for anyone else. So there's some drama there.
There is a world, too, where there's another idol somewhere on the beach because Julie's idol has been played.
Yeah, there hasn't been much like idol searching this season.
Mm-mm.
A lot of the normal stuff that we usually see, not much of it. Like, finally, we got Austin fishing last episode. We got finally some fire making in this episode. But
oh, yeah,
we have 90 minutes and we're not seeing any of the like survivor stuff. Like, oh, man, like I'm starving. Like, what are we going to do? Like, we have to find, like, we don't see any of that, which is interesting for it being 90 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's stuff we used to see, especially in like in Token Teens. They do a reward and an immunity challenge every episode, and it's only 42 minutes of airtime.
Mm-hmm.
And they manage, and I love that. The episodes go so quick because you're just like zipping, 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 watching them eat, watching them do stuff. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, and they're like going on cool rewards. That's the other thing I miss is like when they get like they go to like a cool swimming hole and like they get to go like have dinner with the locals, like that kind of stuff. Just take, like, give me something that's not this damn sanctuary.
Yeah.
Good things happen.
Although I will say Exile Island, like I haven't got very far in, but I don't love Exile Island as a concept.
Yeah.
So I'm glad we don't do that anymore.
Yeah. It's kind of
a thing. Yeah. They did that on Micronesia as well. That was like one of my first seasons seeing Exile Island, I think. But yeah, I don't have much else to say. I'm shocked that Austin didn't play an idol, but it worked out for him.
I know.
I think Drew is really on the chopping block next week, and I love in the like next week on Drew's like pissed and like throwing stuff.
I know.
It's gonna be great. It's gonna be awesome. He like yeets that thing like fucking Thor. Like he's like throwing that like
his hammer,
Captain America or whatever. Yeah, it's so funny.
Yeah, it's like he's like throwing around like fucking cast iron pots and pans. I don't know how.
I know
how that man's
arm snaps.
Here's the other thing I did catch in next week's episode.
Tell me.
It's a very quick shot, but we do get helicopter in the sunset.
So what does that mean? Like,
I don't know. Why are they showing us a helicopter? Is someone getting medevaced? Are we going on a helicopter ride as a reward? What is Jeff flying in on a helicopter? Why are we getting a helicopter shot?
Yeah, because like Sanctuary is a boat right away. It's not a helicopter. So maybe it's either a cool reward, a medevac, or like, I don't know. That's funny. I didn't clock that.
Yeah. Very strange.
Only saw it once, like when we watched it live. I didn't watch it again during this rewatch. But anyway, I think that like, shout out to Emily. I thought she was fun. Like I loved the beginning when she was being absolutely out of pocket. And then she ended up just being like a sweet, normal person. And I in general, I liked her like dorkiness. And I loved when Jake said, like, there goes a badass right there. Like,
I have that in my notes too. That's the best. Like if you can have, I mean, what the hell, guys? I don't know why we're making shirts and merch that say what the hell, guys. That is not what I would want my exit to be. Emily's exit, perfection. Thanks everyone for a beautiful game. Hugs everyone. Walks out and they go, there's a badass. That's
it. Yeah, and she was like, I'm voting for the best player. So get on your horse, bitches. I love that.
And she's somewhat like, also too, she said like her vote for Julie was like, if you're at three, I'm voting for you to win $1 million. And that is a problem. I think that even though Julie's one vote on Emily got Emily out, mad respect for game Julie. Respect, she would, would still, she would not hold that grudge, and she would be like, yeah, you get my vote.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Agreed. How about my parting thought is Jeff egging Drew on to talk more. I was like, please. And then Drew's like, oh, let me open the history books. I'm like, what? You just had that on deck? Like, what?
It's very coach adjacent.
Silly.
Very silly. But my parting thoughts are everyone's chin hairs.
Oh, yeah. Big chin hair energy.
Big
eyebrow energy. Like Helga.
Pataki. Lots of chin hairs, though. I was like, I immediately went up and was like, do I have any chin hair? Like, I watched this episode and I'm like, I think I grew chin hairs during this episode.
Your chest mole hair.
My ghosty hair.
Your ghosty, yeah.
Oh, my other parting thought is bonhomie.
Bonhomie.
Bonhomie. To you and to me.
To me.
And then I want to play a little game.
Okay, play it.
Called Which Date Sounds Better?
Okay.
Your first date is a road trip and you eat Ethiopian food.
Okay.
Your second option for a date is eating sushi, Cuban food, milk tea, and watching Survivor.
Oh, okay. I understand. Is the first date Amber and Rob's first date that they talked about? Okay. Do I know the first date that we're talking about?
Yeah.
Is it Matt and Franny?
Yes.
Okay. Road trip and Ethiopian food, or like all that other food and Survivor.
Watch Survivor.
Road trip, probably.
Really?
Oh, well, not a first date. That's silly. I mean, there's really a first date. They know each other well. Yeah. I mean, like all that food and Survivor sounds great. That's like what we do. That's what me and Alex quite literally do that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, I like this game. I'm going to vote for Matt and Franny just because I think their chemistry is better.
Agree.
Road trip and Ethiopian food. I like believe in that more than them just being like, let's our first date watch Survivor.
Oh my God.
It's like, that's the thing. One thing we have in common is Survivor. Yeah, so let's do that.
And like we look up and there's stars and we have the same sky.
Austin saying, you know, like I might find my Amba here. And then she's like, I was like, I do not want to find, I do not want a showman.
No,
like she, but that then was she her says response. Her,
I know. But then she says her friends, she says to Austin, like, but my friend said, like, you could go out there and find your husband. And yeah, I was like, flat out disgusted.
And I think that's, again, a beautiful way to end this with disgust. Anyway, yeah, we're heading into the penultimate of the season. We are going to get down to a top five, and I am going to print a prediction that Drew is gone. And then after next episode's elimination, we will pick our winner pick for next episode. But I think this was a good episode. It kept me, you know, I was thrilled to watch it. It was a fun little gathering. And yeah, we'll be back next week. We are Bingetown TV. And thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.